Let the church say amen. God has blessed us once again. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And let me say to Brother Paul, welcome back as well. It sounds really good to hear your voice again, Paul. And we ought to all be happy to hear Paul's voice again. We ought to be happy to hear anybody's voice this morning. God has blessed us once again. This morning, before we go very much farther, let us take a moment as we approach God's throne in prayer. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, You have blessed us once again, O Lord. You have given unto us the ability to get up this morning. Father, when we lay down on last night, we didn't know if we would even make it to the morning, much less with the abilities to get up, to dress ourselves and come from our house to Your house. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for food, shelter, clothing, and raiment for our bodies. Thank You for everything You do for us, O Lord. Father, as we come before this congregation this morning, we are praying and asking You and thanking You for each and every member here. We thank You for the leadership here and their families. We thank You for the brethren and their families who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for each and every one that should come be from this point on, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank You that the weather seems to be good for us today, and we thank You, but even if it was 6 feet of snow, Lord, we would still thank You just the same. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything and all things. Now, my Heavenly Father, please be with us as we continue on through these services. May they be found decent and in order and acceptable in Thy sight. We pray for those who are sick and shut in, and we pray for those who may be on their way. We pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning. We just pray that You give them another opportunity to meet at the household of faith. Thank You for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, we say, amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We're going to talk for a few minutes on it is no secret what God can do. In the text for the day, God is telling Joshua He has been chosen to lead or to fill the shoes of Moses. God promised to Joshua, who probably at that point was afraid of the challenges that lay before him. God, who is all-knowing, knew he had to put his mind at ease. So he made this promise to him. In verse number 5, look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What God has done for others, He can also do for you and I. We can rest assured that any promises made by Him shall be or has been fulfilled. He has His own time schedule in which He fulfills what He has promised. God is never late. He may not come when we want Him, but He is coming to fulfill His promises, and He shall be at the right time. This morning, look at the text. I'll reread the scriptures for you in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and in this Lebanon, even the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall be not any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. As I said this morning, it is no secret what God can do. God is a great God. God is the only God. God is the best God, and He is the only God. What has God done for others that He might, that He'll do for you? Well, He has forgiven sins for others. There are many people today who are carrying around the burdens of sin. I tell you something today, that sins are the chain, are as chains bound around us. They keep us weighted down. They separate us from God. In Isaiah chapter 59, in the verses number 2, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." This tells us that sins are a barrier or a wall, if you will, between God and man. God has given us the privilege of forgiveness if we do and follow a couple of steps. Notice what the book of 1 John tells us in verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The first step is that we must recognize that we are sinners. Therefore, we cannot offer up the excuse that we have no sin. But then verse number 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There it is in two easy steps. We must confess our sins to God, and He has the power to forgive us, just like He has done for others. How do we know this? Well, it's simple. It's simple because in Isaiah chapter 1 and 18, the Word of God made a promise to Israel. He said, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Men have been given the right to stand before God in their guilt, and God has the power to forgive us. There is no sin too great for God that He can't forgive us. Jesus prayed for forgiveness from His cross to those who were about to crucify Him or had Him on the cross waiting to finish up crucifying Him. Can God offer us this promise today? Yes, He can. But the question becomes, will you accept? It is no secret what God can do. What God has done for others, He certainly can do for us. He can do for us things that none of us can do for one another. God has answered prayer for others, just like He can answer prayer for you. God is in charge of the prayer hearing and the prayer answering committee in heaven. He knows how and when to answer all our needs. All we got to do is just talk to Him. Send up our prayers to Him. David called out and said in Psalm 65 and verse number 2, "Thou, O God, O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come." All have the privilege of coming before the throne of God, of the throne of grace and the throne of mercy. There is no other God a Christian can call upon except the God of heaven. He heard Jonah when he decided to go into prayer after finding himself running away from God, only to find himself running to God or running for God. After praying in Jonah chapter 2, we find him in chapter 4, we find him preaching the Word of God as he was instructed. So he ran from God, but then he had to come back to God because God knows everything. And God had simply given him instruction to go down and cry unto Nineveh. But sometimes we don't think God knows what He's doing, and we question God. We have to understand that God is an all-knowing God, and there is no secret what God can't do. God knows how to get our attention when He wants to. Even though we may not think we need to pray, some are under the false impression that since I've become a Christian, I don't need to pray as often. You need to pray more. You need to pray more. We need to pray as often as we can. And that should be every single day, day in and day out. Some think that God will look out for us. And He will, but we still need to pray. We as Christians have added problems because we are Christians. You know what? When you think about it, if we didn't have problems as Christians, if we didn't suffer, we wouldn't understand how God really is. Because God sometimes tests us. He is waiting to see just how much patience and how much endurance we have. You know, we're in a race. And while we run this race, we ought to run it with patience and wisdom and with knowledge. And you may as well have knowledge of the Lord. Just ask anybody who's been out of a job for a while until he or she went to God in prayer. They could not find one. But through prayer, one person said they received several offers of employment at the same time. Or talk to the woman who has an abusive, non-believing husband until she went to the Lord in prayer. He still did not become a Christian, that husband didn't, but he is no longer abusive to her. You remember in Luke chapter 15, the verses of 18 through verses number 24, it's an old familiar parable where a man was reduced to eating with the pigs until he came to himself and went to his father. He had to have a visit from trouble before he realized what he was missing, living in sin. We have to come to our senses and realize that as well, that only our Heavenly Father can get us out of the things we sometimes find ourselves in. God, as I always say, is still in the prayer answering business. Do you know that anybody that needs prayer, I suggest to you that all of us need prayer. I think that we can't get through this life without prayer. God has offered repentance even to the church. Even the church can become bogged down in the affairs of the world, so much so that they also need help to overcome. Certainly when I speak of the church, I speak of the people and not the building, because this building is not the church. It houses the church that we sit in. It houses the church that cools us on a warm summer day. It houses us in the building. The building houses us on a cold, wintry day that heats us. But the church itself is us and not the bricks and mortar that we come to worship in. So when I say that the church needed repentance, I'm talking about the people in the church. For we know the church is made up of people, and that's the root cause of trouble. Focus the church. The people that cause trouble in the church. Somebody don't like somebody else, and somebody didn't think that somebody else did the right thing when they should have. But that's not your concern. That's the Lord's business. In Revelation chapter 2, in the verses of verse 4 and 5, the record records these words of Jesus. It said, "But I have this against you. Remember, you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I will remove your lampstands out of its place unless you repent." Now, I took that from the American Standard Bible, so it probably reads just slightly different than yours. No matter how good a Christian you may think you are, sometimes there may still be something missing in you. And that goes from the pulpit to the back door. We do not have to stop coming to church in order to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now somebody will say, "But that sounds kind of strange, preacher." Well, you can come to church and not be in church. You can be in church but not be at church. Sometimes we have become less than enthusiastic. Sometimes our zeal is lost, and that's like not being here at all. So, and some may say, "Well, that's the preacher's fault." Wait a minute now. Hold up. The preacher has no heaven or hell to put you in. He only gives directions what he finds in the Word of God. So if you're on your way to hell, it's not the preacher's fault. And if you're on the way to heaven, it's a feather in the cap of the preacher, perhaps. Do you blame him when you give less than you have purpose in your heart? That decision is supposed to be between, it's supposed to be between your heart and your God, not the words of the preacher, not the words that come out of the preacher's mouth. When you say, well, I would give more, but I don't like the preacher. Well, you're not hurting the preacher, you're hurting yourself. Because you're not doing what God told you to do. The Word of God tells us, look at the Word, if you don't believe me, watch this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7, every man according to as he purposed in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now you can give if you want to. You can give thousands of dollars if you like, but if you're doing it grudgingly, you may as well hold it in your pocket. If you're not giving, you ought to be giving the way God has asked us to give in the Word of God. So don't blame the preacher because you give less. When the church has become cold and lost its fire, you need to ask God to renew a right spirit within you and give you a clean heart, just as David did in Psalms chapter 51. So what are you saying, preacher? Very simply, I'm saying this. If God gave, David asked God for a renewed spirit, He'll do it for him and He can do it for you as well. So the Lord told the church to repent or else He would take their candle out of the candlestick. In other words, He would unchurch them. It's no secret what God can do for us because He has done it for others. Look what He told, Joshua in the 5th verse of chapter 1 there. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now God didn't make empty promises and He hasn't made us any empty promises. We've got to learn to read and understand the promises of God. If you don't read, you'll never understand. And if you read without understanding, you still won't understand. So what are you saying? All I'm saying is God can fix whenever, whomever, and however He chooses to. Why would He not do it for you if He did it for others? I tell you something about God. God is a 24/7 God. He's always available. But the point is sometimes I don't think we make ourselves ready to meet Him, ready to call upon Him. So sometimes it's the fault of us, not God, that causes us to not get our prayers answered. That's because we don't ask. If you just think that, well, God already knows what's going on in my life, why do I need to ask? Well, I'll tell you why you need to ask. God wants to hear it from you. God wants to know. He already knows us. He knows every single hair on our head. And that's knowing a lot, especially somebody who said, well, if God knows me so well, why does He allow these things to happen to me? Well, sometimes the things that happen to you are your own fault. When you go out and get yourself into trouble, you think God led you into that trouble? I think not. So He can fix whomever, however He chooses to, and whenever He chooses to. Do you remember in the case of Moses? Moses was a murderer, but God allowed him to lead His people to the promised land. Do you remember Peter? Peter denied and cursed, yet God allowed him to preach and cause about 3,000 souls on Pentecost to be baptized. Saul was the chief of all sinners, yet God fixed him and used him to become the last apostle. Didn't He do it, church? And I'll tell you, He can do it for you too. When I think about the goodness of God, I sometimes ask myself, Lord, why are you so good to me? Now, I had something that happened to me just a few weeks ago, and I didn't believe that it was happening to me. It was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing that happened to me. And all I could do was simply one thing, and that was to fall on my knees and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, because I couldn't have done this for myself. I couldn't have done this without you. I couldn't have done it all by myself. So I asked a question this morning. What have you done that you think the Lord can't fix? Why haven't you given Him a chance to fix it? He has given us chance after chance, and one day the chances are going to come to an end. Then if we'll be out of time. So the time to get right is while you still have time. And no time is better than the time right now. For today is the first day of the rest of our lives. If you don't come to God today, then I ask the question, when will you come? So as we look at Joshua as he is about to take over and fill the shoes of Moses, that tells me something there. That tells me that if God can appoint one man to fill another man's shoe, God can appoint all men to fill anybody's shoes if He wants to. Then I learned from this text as well that no man would be able to stand against Joshua all the days of his life. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God is not going to forsake us. Guess what? We forsake Him. When the forsaken time comes, it's us. And so I say to you this morning, are you forsaking God? Are you not coming to church like you're supposed to come to church? Or once you get to church, are you like a stone cold brick? If you get to church and you say, well, I'm not speaking to nobody in that place. You're supposed to be doing what? Edifying one another. Even if you can't say something good to me, then you say, well, maybe I shouldn't say anything. But if you want to edify me, say good morning. That might all be all it takes to edify me. Just say, God is good. That might be all it takes to edify me. And I'll in turn try to edify you just as well. But if I come to church and as soon as I open the door, I put a frown on my face. And I say, I hate going in here. Well, why did you even bother to come? And then there are those who say, well, I'm coming to church because my mama's going to get mad if I don't. Well, you know something? One day you're going to have to answer for yourself. And mama won't be able to answer for you. Yeah, mama won't be able to say, yeah, I told him to come to church. One day we're all going to have to answer. That's like I was telling you about the preacher. You see, when you stand before God, the preacher's not going to look at you and ask you about me. He's going to ask me about me, and he's going to ask you about you. And we have to answer for ourselves. Every tongue shall confess. And every knee shall bow, and every eye shall see Him. And I tell you, none of us are going to escape without seeing Him. I'm almost done. But I tell you, when you say, I don't care for the preacher, I don't care for the sister that sits in pew number 6, I don't care for the brother and sits in pew number 11. I don't like the way he dresses, and I certainly don't like how she wears her hair. Well, since you're not going to be the beautician and refix her hair, and since you're not going to redress that brother, you ought to just smile and say, good morning, brother, good morning, sister, and be done with it, and put a smile on your face. Somebody said, I was glad to be in the house of the Lord. Some of us don't act like it. And somebody said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You get in the Spirit before you get to the house of God. You don't wait for the preacher to put you in the Spirit. You ought to be in the Spirit when you get here. And when you get here, don't get mad because somebody is sitting in your spot. You know, it don't take much to set us off. He know I sit there all the time. Why is he sitting there? Well, just go up and sit on the other side of him. That's all you got to do. One seat in the house of God is just as good as another one. I just want to get the seat in heaven. I'm not worried so much about where I sit. Yes, when I come in, I always look for my seat on the back row. But if it's not there, then I'll move somewhere else. But I'm jockeying for a seat up there. And if I can get up there, maybe I'll ask the Lord, why did he take my seat that Sunday morning? But until then, I'm just going to try to edify him. How you doing, brother? Keep right on going. Even though you're in my seat, I still love you this morning. So when you come to the household of faith, you ought to be willing to edify somebody. Because you know why? Because it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for us as well. And I know some of us got some big secrets in our lives. And we need somebody to talk to. You know when you get one of those secrets where you can't tell nobody else? I just can't tell them what's going on with me. Well, you ought to go to the Lord and tell him. See, he'll keep your secret. He won't let the secret out. But we've got to accept the fact that he's capable and he's powerful enough to do what he said he can do. Anytime he can send his son down to this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, and then send him into the grave, and then bring him back out of the grave and bring him up with him, that's a powerful God. That's the God, the kind of God I want to serve. And you ought to want to serve that kind of God too. So next time you want to blame somebody because you're not as happy at church, then I tell you something. Oh, and I may as well just throw this in there. If you go to another church, it's going to be the same thing. There ain't no getting away from it. Oh, it might be all right for a little while. But it's going to be the same thing at that other church. It might not be the same exact problem, but it's going to be the same nature. Somebody don't like somebody in there, or somebody think that the preacher should have said something else instead of what he said. Well, if you want me to say something else, then I'll tell you what. You give me the message, and I'll do your message maybe. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying one thing. Let God rule over your life. Because there's no secret what God can do for us. What he's done for others, he can also do for you. How do I get in on God's secret society? Well, it's not a secret society. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. So how do I get in on that, preacher? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. It'd be a nice day to go down in the water. Brother Jackson is ready, as always, and he'll take you down. Isn't that right? So all you need to do is come. But what if you've already been there? I've already been to the waters. Well, you just ask the Lord for forgiveness of whatever you're going through. Then come forward. Ask the church to pray with you and for you, that you may gather strength. This is the time that we have right now to do this as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.